At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Now Taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is Taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Peace Family is 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the High Level Audio Experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links. Enjoy this clip and check out the full episode. Peace.
You'll never see losers celebrate more in any other culture than ours. The losers in our culture celebrate more than the winners. With the metaverse, it provides opportunities to use technology in new ways to solve old problems.
So I'm walking by and I see my kids playing Roblox. And I'm like, that's metaverse right there.
Right.
New technology, new way of doing things scares people.
And I choose to do anything right from a very confident, fearless place. They got their plans, but I never believed they was God. If I can get people to stop thinking from a week to week, check to check, getting them to start thinking more free, and we can start thinking long term. You can tell we just moving as consumers and followers. A whole new industry, and we move exactly the same every single time.
One of the biggest problems we face in technology is racism. I could be a developer and land in the metaverse, right? Right now. And I could develop land, nobody will know who I am.
Diversification is the only strategy against this market bubble. When the stock market down, NFT's the same. Crypto down, NFT's the same. Decentralized applications and decentralized finance, that's the key right there. Price is not value. Next thing you know, you've evaluated this thing and be like, oh, that's $25,000 worth that I'm paying for $250. A meme is not a strategy.
They were going to drop a coin called Kanye Coin. So Kanye West got mad, got his lawyers, and shut the project down.
What do you actually want to do with the asset? Everybody will be able to have one. But being able to have a certain percentage of it guarantees you a certain level of wealth.
They said 0.01 Bitcoin will guarantee you wealth for the rest of your life. If it goes to where it's supposed to be going, which is over $1 million. It's a lot of other ways. You just got to do
wealth strategy.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You got to get you.
You got to think.
Peace Family, I'm 19 Keys, and I always bring some of the most powerful guests that I know are having an impact in the world, that have intellect, intelligence, and strategy on how they are determined to move in the world with themselves, their community, you understand me, so on and so forth. And today, of course, I'm not going to disappoint you as well. We got our good brother, Ramondo, also known as...
Tall Guy Tycoon.
You understand me, Tall Guy Tycoon, man. This is somebody that I've been following for a while, seeing him on social media and his journey and how, you know, you've been developing your community, keeping them abreast with things that's going on in the financial sector, stocks, crypto, you understand me, and as of recently more into the metaverse space, and I believe that that's necessary, number one, but at the same time you actually help make people money, you understand me?
Yeah.
People that's within your community, and I think that that's a dope avenue. It's a dope lane that a lot of us are into, and people that are starting to get into it, you understand me? Because economics has to be at the frontier of how we create our path towards freedom, you understand me? And justice and equity, right? And then equality, right? But today, you know, I like to focus on, you know, solutions. I like to have conversations around culture, things that, you know, we need to be paying attention to in order to move forward. And given that, you know, you're currently speaking on the subjects of the metaverse, first I want to ask you, why did you decide to start speaking on the metaverse? As far as why do you think it's important for you to give attention to it so that the people who follow you can also be tapped into the opportunities you're taking?
Now, the reason why I decided to focus on, I'll tell you, I had like a little short journey in that, right?
Yeah.
Is that, I'll be honest, when it first came out, I thought it was stupid.
Yeah.
First week, I was like, come on, man, it ain't going to work.
Yeah.
And then I'm a person that believes you should have a fluid mind.
Yeah.
And I caught myself saying that. And I was like, I always teach people, I have a fluid mind. You got to, anytime the data, you got to search for the data.
and let the data make the decision, right? Yeah. So I said, I'm not gonna just like immediately reject it. I'm gonna see what's gonna go on here. So what I did is that I started researching. And I was like, well, I still don't think it's gonna work, right? Then one day I remember I'm walking by and I see my kids playing Roblox. Mm. And I'm like, that's metaverse right there, right? It's the same thing. And I'm like, well, I don't have to understand it because they're gonna understand it, right? They're gonna be the ones that inherit the world.
That's a fact.
So they're growing up in this. Then I said, man, now I see where it's going. And then I start talking about the metaverse. And I was saying, look, man, and I started like understanding that they're the ones that's gonna be the ones in there. They're the ones that's gonna be living and working in this world.
Yeah.
They're the ones that's growing up in it already.
Yeah.
And that's what made me start, it made like a light bulb go off in my head. And that's when I started talking about it.
Well, sure, what do you say to the people that like, nah, man, you falling into the one world order, you falling into right in position where they at least want us to be so they can capture us, chip us up, throw us in a metaverse, meta database, you understand me, and have us as digital slaves, as their human capital for the rest of our life into this utopian. what'd you say to those people, man?
I understand, man, that there's people get scared, man. I understand that, right? New technology, new way of doing things scares people.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean, I sent you an article on that. I said, you go back to the 18th century when they came out with the looms to make the mm-hmm. fabric, right? That it was the same thing. There was something, it was people called Luddites. Mm-hmm. Luddites were people back in the 1800s. It was in Europe somewhere. They came up with these looms to do the fabric. Remember, everything was hand done before. And so mm-hmm. they saw these looms working. They're like, man, this is like evil.
Yeah.
Like, how does this is what humans did before. How is this machine making this fabric? Immediately went back to that church and said, got to be from the devil.
Right.
And then they started sabotaging the machines. They started getting scared. They thought, just like you said, it's part of a new world order, and all these machines are going to take their jobs. And it was an effort to sabotage all these machines.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what's happening. Anytime there's new technology, back then, internet, TV, all the way up to now, people are going to fight against it. And that's just from fear and not understanding what it is.
Right. Well, I want to play God's advocate on that as well. So, you know, I teach it. So I'm in the space.
Yeah.
And I teach it for a very specific purpose. And that's because it's another tool and opportunity we can utilize to build wealth, right?
Exactly.
And the point of building wealth is we can utilize those resources for our liberation. You understand me? Liberating us from under the oppression that we currently face based on the way that the world is set up for these institutions. Now, I do understand that, you know, when it comes to our specific culture, me and you as melanated black men in America, right? We fall under a subsection of people who are considered to be minorities under those who have all the power. And so I know that when it comes to the amount of resources that they have in order to get into a new industry, that's a lot. They can throw billions at it, right, and get in, and those who control the data and the information and things of that nature, they can figure out things faster, right? Now they got quantum machines and things of that nature. And at the end of the day, it gets to this point where it's like you could look at all of the data that exists and say, yeah, man, ain't no point in getting into nothing new whatsoever. Or you can say, nah, at the end of the day, I'm not going to operate from a fear-based mentality, exactly. Right? And I choose to do anything, right, from a very confident, fearless place, saying that they got their plans, but I never believed they was God. You understand me? The only way that you can be afraid of them if you believe that they God, because whatever you fear becomes your God. But you understand me? They have the ability to rule over you. So at the end of the day, if we get into this space, whether it's metaverse, crypto, blockchain opportunities, you understand me, whether it's financial literacy, even politics, right? You can say the same thing in politics in the metaverse, to be honest with me, is that do we have the ability to decide our own future, utilizing the resources and tools we want to use to build out our future, right? And there's no way that I'm going to come to this point and say no. That we have no power over the future, that we can't utilize none of these tools for our benefit. Our issue is that we're so divided on subjects that we don't come together for a united cause of how we're going to utilize the resource or the new technology, right? We're facing a double-headed dragon on multiple fields and every level of how we fight, but at the end of the day, you gotta find some kind of tool that you're gonna use as a weapon. Right? Like some of us choose to say, you know what, I'm going to teach economics. I'm going to teach financial literacy because if I can get people to stop thinking from a week to week, check to check, reliance institutions, now I can start thinking of getting them to start thinking more free and we can start thinking long term. Right? And once you start thinking long term, now you can start having a vision that you're going to work towards and implement to bring forth a new reality. But if there's no vision inside the minds of the people, if the minds of the people not pregnant with new opportunities, they don't present and create nothing. They wait for somebody else to build out the future, then they go along with it.
It's way too late.
Yeah. And
way too late.
With the metaverse, it provides opportunities to use technology in new ways to solve old problems.
Yeah.
You understand me? And so that's my take on it, is that, yeah, they may have an agenda, but we got one too. You understand me? And if you only believe in them, then of course you're afraid.
Exactly.
But if you believe in yourself and you believe in us, the organizers, the leaders, the curators, the creators, you understand me? Then ain't nothing to fear in the first place.
If you understand your power is equal to theirs, then what you scared of?
Yeah, I mean,
your
even
intellectual
more.
Power is the same. This is the thing about technology, is that it's all intellectual, right? Is that it could be somebody over there. It doesn't matter how much power, especially in a new technology like this. Facebook, it was a couple of dudes in a Harvard college dorm room. They created something and look where it's at now. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. But this is what I'm talking about, is that it could be one man or a group of men that get together and they can create something right now, a group of black men or, you know, whatever, group of minorities or whatever, and they create something now that can go on into the future.
Man, listen, man, we got so much power. We have been playing. Listen, people be thinking, like, I'm always putting out critical thoughts for us to think, right? And it's so much in society that I just dislike right now. It's ridiculous. And I got to switch my mindset because I'm seeing too many things I don't like, and that's not good for me. I need to have my mind grid focused on things that I love, that I enjoy, that I want to see more of. Because I know for a fact that whatever you pay attention to, you grow. Whatever you water, you grow. So it's like I got to switch off my frequency right now because I'm seeing too much of things that I dislike. So it's like, let's say NFTs, right? Now, I understand that we need entries for things, right? Culture is an entry that gets people to follow, right? But I also understand that America is not even the influencer when it comes to this, right? You go to the Philippines, that really is adopted 32% of the market. In America, 3.2% of the market. And that percentage of our culture is even lower of people that's within it. But our culture do have a large influence. So when I look at all of the entertainers buy into one single thing, you understand me, creating a $1 billion brand, to me that's the same as we buying into Gucci and then giving people something to aspire to and saying, hey, we just outpriced you again, we in a whole nother class, we're back to our exclusive model. It's the bringing the same sort of culture into a new space, and I don't like that, especially our rap culture, right? Rappers are the biggest followers of the world, you understand me? They always proclaim they not leaders. You understand me? And they always proclaim they're not role models and that they're just entertainers. And in that case, we need to treat them just as entertainers, right? And when you want to treat somebody just as an entertainer, you're treating them the same way the king would treat the jester. You understand me?
Yeah.
Or the circus treats a clown, because a lot of them are clowns.
Yeah.
And I say that directly because I know a lot of them. And the other ones, you know, I listen to some of the music, but I don't take it serious. Other communities don't take that music serious.
Exactly.
And we got to stop taking our entertainers serious.
I agree with
you. At the end of the day, like, that's just no cap.
That's an act, man. There's nothing wrong. Think about it. It's nothing wrong with it being an act.
No.
It's like somebody acting in a movie. Yeah, exactly. So we need to do two things. We need to understand they're acting and then understand it's okay that they're acting.
Yeah.
And that's okay and move on.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
all that weird business that they're into, that's because they're entertaining.
They're entertaining. That's a career path for them, right? Just like you see somebody in a movie, you know you like the movie, like Denzel's in a movie or something. You like what he's doing. You like his role, like in Training Day.
Yeah.
But you know that's not him, and you move on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's how we have to see rappers and entertainers.
And see, once you start looking at structures and hierarchies of society and even different caste systems, in our culture, the rappers are in the place of what would be our leaders, right?
Yeah.
Because they have the type of intention and attention and influence that a leader or an organizer or an intellectual should have over a society. Instead, the entertainers are there. So there's a vapor and gap of being led in the wrong direction, right? I only say that to bring back the conversation, to dial it down back to the NFT conversation. It's like everybody gets into Bored Ape Yacht Club. And shout out to the guys that did it because, man, they put together a brilliant marketing campaign, agency, PR, everything behind it. They put money behind that to make that successful, right? Now I see every young black rapper, I'm going to buy that. Because it's the new Rolex. It's the new Flex. This is my new Gucci. This is my new Prada. My new designer, Miri. My new Lamborghini, right? But when you got a new space like this, you can create such a much better example, right? And there's so many better strategies that you can utilize, right? That'd be pure brilliant in this space. Number one, and I don't mind being critical aboard at Yacht, because I know that they're going to be successful regardless.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not down in a project, all right? You really want to pick the top boys and use them as the examples,
yeah,
because they can take it. The top can always take the criticism.
Yeah.
So when it comes to that, man, and I think about the way everybody is what they call aping in, right? Because they're setting standards and rules as having this first mover advantage, yeah, of being successful. What we could have done with, and what we still can do, of course, you understand me? But it's like, we got to start moving correctly in formation. It's like, instead of just buying into a project that has nothing to do with the culture, meaning that people from the culture didn't create it. You understand me? When I say culture, let's, because my audience is universal, but I'm a black man, so I always speak in context a lot of times, because we got more problems than everybody else.
Yeah.
So I'm going to always solve our problems first.
Yeah.
You understand me? Which will help the rest of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
And if people don't want me to solve our problems, and they got an issue with our culture moving forward.
Exactly.
So if you don't like that, then you the problem. You understand me? Don't get slapped playing with me. No, I'm just playing. I'm chill for it. I eat fruit and stuff. And I'm relaxed. I don't play with me. No, so, you know, it's like we could have decided to say, yo, let's... And some rappers have done it, you know, created their own projects, yeah, right? Now, don't get me wrong. These are derivative projects of copy cloning the same model, yeah, that these people have done, right? But you create your own projects. Well, all of those rappers that bought into this one could have just created their own club, right?
Exactly.
The problem is that this is like, okay, so y'all can unify on everybody deciding that, hey, we are the rappers. We don't collectively come together for ourselves, but we'll collectively come together for their culture and buy-in.
Because how much money's been put in that project for
millions of dollars?
And that's just stuff we know about.
Yeah.
Like, imagine all the interns that bought into it and won't even know nothing, yeah, about it. They're keeping it secret.
Entertainers, ball players, yeah, all of them. So it's like, listen, we as rappers, we hate each other. We kill each other. But wait a minute. We will all buy into their project and make their culture richer.
Yeah.
You understand me? Build their brand up. Use our star celebrity power to add on to their brand.
When you buy it, you're advertising it, and then you're also putting direct money into it. So indirectly, that $400,000 Bored Ape that you bought may generate $4 million in money going to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to generate, yeah, because that brand, you can't get that. They couldn't, how much, well, I don't know in the back end if they paying the rappers at the end of the day. I don't know. Right? Because at the end of the day,
regardless, it don't matter. It's still the same impact.
Well, yeah, because if I'm buying this for $200,000, but then I'm putting it on my platform that I bought it, how much brand equity did I just put into that? You understand me? So at the same time, all I'm saying is that you can tell we just moving as consumers and followers. And that's like something for the whole world to see. You understand me? A whole new industry, and we move exactly the same every single time. We get in line with whatever they sell, and we want the rest of the culture to aspire to be inside a class that we know they can't afford.
Exactly.
Locking us out again when it's supposed to be a way to democratize access, and instead you could have got to the educators and the leaders and the curators of that space and said, what's the best way we can move? How we can move collectively and create a project that can boost $1 billion. We can take 20% of that project and we can fund, projects within the hood, you understand me, of America and solve some of these problems that we have. But exactly, that ain't how we move.
Every 10 or 15 years in technology, there's an opportunity like this. And we're still in the window right now.
Yeah.
The window, it happens to where the technology just starts.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a low barrier to entry. You don't need much. You just need thinkers.
Right.
So anybody right now, like I said, can come to this and make money, make an impact. But like I said, it just requires like organization, everybody to move together.
Organization is key.
That's it. Right?
Yeah.
The internet was like that early, but that's over now. Like we talked about earlier, is that like, it took back in what, 2001, 2002, one man, he got two of his college dorm mates or whatever, and they built Facebook. Nah, I'm okay. But they built Facebook. What Facebook is right now, maybe $1 trillion, I don't know where it's at, what the market cap is, but it's billions of dollars, right? So now you can't do that no more. They own it now. So, you know, like, we can't get together and create a multi-billion dollar social media platform. There's too much competition now.
Yep.
But now, in the metaverse,
well,
in NFTs,
and we can create a decentralized project.
We could, but it would still take a lot of money, effort, and more than me and you at this point. You know, we'd have to have a big team. Well, that's all I'm saying is that.
Well,
it
yeah, but you know, they, yeah, all these things start with an idea,
exactly,
and some willpower, man. And it's like, even now, right, we live in, you know, the zero marginal cost economy. You understand me? Jeremy Rifkin, I believe, was the one who coined that term, and he was talking about the fact that, you know, you buy a phone, it has a fixed cost, right?
Yeah.
Per month, you go pay $200 a month for a phone bill. But what that phone does outside of that, you don't have to pay for, right? So you get on Instagram, you sign up for free.
Yeah.
And utilizing a phone that you're paying $200 per month for. But when you go stream out to 100 people, 1,000 people, 1,000,000 people, that's all free.
Same phone, yeah.
So now that the cost of access has essentially went down to zero, we have the same access to tools that at first only old, exactly, rich white men had.
Exactly.
So it's like our opportunities have changed drastically. And we have to operate and move as such. But what happens is that when you got a bunch of people that are ignorant to financial literacy and economics and technology, and you put them as the ones in front of the people, those who follow them will be just as illiterate, yeah, and they will be making moves with the intelligence of following somebody that's illiterate.
Exactly.
When they think they're doing the right thing, oh, so-and-so got in, I'm going to get into this. No, this person didn't know what the hell they was doing.
That's crazy, man. Like they know their craft is music.
Yeah.
And they're good at their craft. But that's what their craft is. Anything outside of that, they're not experts at, right? But we look to them for financial literacy, for aspiration, for world, you know, how to go through the world, advice. All this stuff is about, like, rappers and entertainers now.
Yeah. And I only put that, you know, I'm always going to attack the top, right? Because at the end of the day, that's who got the ear and the eyes and the senses of the culture and the attention, right? Yeah. But, the real conversation is about what we can do with this technology.
Yeah.
Right? And you're talking about the people that have issues. Like, we got to look at education first, right? Education is essential, right? When we are getting into new sectors, we have to be educated on it to be able to utilize it. So when you talk about people being illiterate, we have a people that can speak it. When you can speak a language, you still can be illiterate in that, because you got to learn how to read and write in order to have literacy within the language. So even when it comes to the financials or this tech, we can speak it. We can become lit professors, but can we code it?
Yeah.
You understand me? Can we read the code? Do we understand the language in a manner to where we can read and write it and set the rules and parameters ourselves?
That's the hard part,
and that's what we don't have the ability to do widely. Yeah. So we got too many lit professors and not enough people who are actually literate by standards of literacy. So when it comes to us getting into new fields, we become consumers, copycats. We don't have any original thought. We follow what everybody else say, and then we think we literate in the space just because you can talk.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with it.
You got to be able to execute what you're saying.
Yeah, you got to understand it comprehensively.
Comprehensively.
You understand me from the root. So if we look at the Asian sector, they are literate in this space. They read, write, talk it, speak it, walk it, everything, right?
They're more interested in learning how to do it than to talk it. Yeah. Especially with, also Jewish, right? The Jewish community.
Oh, yeah, man.
What they do is they do the banking. They're the ones that's in the finance sector. They're the ones in the legal sector. They don't talk it. You know what I'm saying?
Mark Zuckerberg, Jewish.
They're not all talking about it, you know, trying to get cloud or whatever off of it. They're getting it done. And that's a lot of times where we need to stop focusing so much on the cloud and whatever, talking or whatever, and we need to get stuff done.
They represent 2% of the population, but in the Forbes top 100, what was it? Yeah, top 100, I think they had 25 billionaires on there or something like that. You understand me? Like, that happens because they're specific in a way that they organize, right, and how they go at the power.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the foundation to understand your journey into cryptocurrency. You want to be prepared for the future. And although you can make a lot of money in crypto, you can actually lose a lot as well. If you're getting in just for FOMO, you don't have a strategy, you're just gambling. This is one of my favorite strategies. But we're in that time where anybody can create their own money and their own economy. That means the corporations and even the banks and the governments themselves are actually jumping into it. This is that time now where you get prepared. You will have the tools to be able to go do this research on your own, find coins on your own, and understand crypto in a way that the big boys do right now. The game is here and it's real. And if you don't play in it, then you're going to be on the sidelines watching everybody else score. And I believe that this is why it's one of the most exciting times in history. If you're smart, you're playing the game.
market and network strategies at highlevel.19keys.com/IWS.
So it's like, all right, let's get back to, you know, this meta talk, right? Because it's still a hot topic. How can we utilize, in your opinion, some of the things that you've seen, how can we utilize the metaverse in a positive solution-based manner?
So the metaverse, right, is that it's brand new. It's not brand new, but you see what I'm saying? It's new to us, right? So it's still a wide open market, right? So there's jobs there, right? But the biggest thing there is that the ability to create technology. You can create wearables, you can create, develop land, you can do a lot of things like that. But the biggest thing, and we talked about this earlier, is that one of the biggest problems we face in technology is racism. I faced it when I started, a tech bias, right? Is that you walk into the room and they look at you and you don't fit the profile, and then they start asking questions, right? And then it is racism in tech, but it's easy. It's not hard to overcome, but you have to work to overcome it, right? But with the metaverse, right? I could be a developer and land in the metaverse, right? Right now, and I could develop land. Nobody will know who I am, mm-hmm. right? It's identity. It's that my identity is hidden, and I can choose to show it. I could choose not to. So if you feel like racism is too much, the metaverse right there will give you options and solutions to get around, to circumvent it and get around it, when nobody knows who you are until you want them to know who you are. So that's what I see the biggest opportunity in the metaverse is, and even in a lot of technology, but in the metaverse specifically, is that it allows people who've been like, people that have been marginalized for years, you know, now they have a chance to do great things. And in an environment where nobody knows who anybody else is. So racism in the metaverse is completely gone. You know, technically it's gone because nobody knows who you are. You can choose your color if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So that's an opportunity, right, to be able to create great things and circumvent this thing that's called racism that, you know, it's been holding us down for so many years.
So one way I see it is through also education, right?
Yeah.
Education increases in a metaverse just because when you stimulate it by multiple senses in the way that you go about learning, you understand me, increase more into your memory and your long-term understanding of things, right, and better. And the education system has an old model that hasn't changed. Yeah. It's one of the hardest systems to change. Take typically like 50 years to change something in the education system, right? We operate off old models that were created by old white men and their idea of what society should and shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Right. But if we want to utilize it in a manner to where we democratize education and give people access to skills, right, to increase their value of their human capital, then we go utilize the metaverse to create our new libraries of Timbuktu. You understand me? And figure out ways to really educate segments of population in our culture specifically, but throughout the world, where once we educated in tech and architecture and engineering and all of the things that are comprised with nation building, and we can track that, you understand me? Then we can start facilitating those that have that knowledge and those resources to put them in positions to start building things out. It's like, if I got my own metaverse school, I got children in Africa, children in America, right, all over sitting in the same classroom learning the same thing, right? I can have a large classroom size where I got, sure, when I got multiple teachers in there teaching, or I have a community of people learning in there together, sharing different skill sets. I can teach history in a completely different way instead of it being whitewashed to where every character that we know was a melanated human being has been thrown with a Michael Jackson new complexion, you understand me? All of a sudden, you understand me? But we can recreate these figures and they proper astute and who they really was, and then teach history in that matter. You see what Florida trying to do? They talking about they creating ways to block the education of true history so that, you know, white guilt, right, doesn't spill over. In the metaverse, we ain't got to worry about all that.
Whoever controls the history narrative controls the people.
Come on, man. That's what we want to build. Because imagine if they wrote that out in all schools. All of a sudden, the kids in there in the metaverse, you understand me? And 20 years later, Denzel Washington is a white guy.
And nobody's going to know the deal. I mean, how's anybody better prove that?
Denzel wasn't white. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be arguing shit like that.
I mean, to the people.
Because somebody created their own version.
I know, but that truth only lasts as long as the people who actually saw it. As soon as we die off, history is whatever they say it is.
Well, you know, society right now is on a population decline, right? So that the average age right now is even higher than it used to be, right? In the 70s, 70s, I think it was like 25. Now it's around 35, 40 years old. You understand me? And when that starts to happen, that's when you start to get a decrease in innovation because people start to get stuck in their ways.
Yeah.
You understand me? And these old white men, they don't want things to change because they want to be in a position of power consistently for the rest of time, right? And so, of course, they find it to their advantage that we need to figure out ways to keep laws in our favor because when they become a minority, you understand me, then the majority has rulership over them. So they got to put in structure in place of all these different things. You understand me? So, but now we have to figure out how do we want the world to look like and how do we want the world to operate once we have control over it? See, it's hard for people to get into that mindset now.
Yeah, it's hard.
Because we stuck in such a slave mindset that we can't even think about. Like, damn, I never thought about what type of positions, what type of world, what type of design I want things to be, how I want the education system to be. Like, A, B, C, D, E, that is the oldest, stupidest metric education model ever to exist. You understand me? We going off, literally, they had intellectuals in the white community and white dudes like, you know what? This is the model, and they gamified and everybody followed those rules.
It needs to be changed, man. The whole education system is wrong.
Yeah.
Right? It's because it's not, it teaches you how to conform.
Yeah.
Like if I do my homework, if I study for my test, I get immediate gratification from the teacher that I did a good job with the ABC system, right? But when you get to the real world, you may work on a project for 6 months. Ain't nobody going to give you an A until you're doing a great job every 2 weeks. So you have to be able to get that motivation from inside yourself. And people that do that, that go out and do that, weren't really good students. And you almost see that consistently. They weren't good students in high school and middle school, and they go out and do great things in the mm-hmm. world because they didn't conform. They got the motivation from inside. They didn't need those A's, B's, and C's.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of people walking around with false confidence because they thought they were smart. Got in the real world, and they had to work for the people who was really smart.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was people who had developed insecurities because they thought they was dumb.
Exactly.
And didn't realize they had creative intelligence. Exactly. And in the real world, they can actually utilize that, and they actually very smart.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? So that's why...
Man, school don't value that. School values conforming.
We got ass whoopings for goddamn getting bad grades that didn't even matter.
Yeah, I know.
So people were literally going through child abuse because we grew up in a bad system. For them weak ass grades.
Like I know a person who was very intelligent. Right when I was in high school, he's a very smart dude, and he got bad grades consistently. So the teachers would always put him down or whatever.
Yeah.
He ended up dropping out and ended up getting in a lot of trouble. I think he went to jail for like 10-15 years off a drug charge.
Mm.
But he would have been very intelligent if the school system was different. He was intelligent, but I'm saying he would have been more successful if the school system was different. They were able to pinpoint that and not, you know, make him feel like because he didn't conform to the system,
right. He
was somehow bad.
And see, that's the beauty of tech, right? So imagine if you are able to create profiles on each student, and this is all connected to a blockchain where it really is following their development, right?
Exactly.
And whether it's an algorithm or it's just teachers assessing everything that's happening with their child, then they get to follow what type of thinker this is,
exactly.
Right? What type of learner this is, right? What are their interests? And they can develop on those strong points. But technology allows us to create these type of profiles and algorithms that can increase human efficiency and learning and development. But that does not exist in at least the schools that we went to. You got to go to the million-dollar schools. In them Ivy League schools,
probably.
And them private ones that we know nothing about, and I'm sure they have better metrics of education and learning and development that they go through. But the hoods of America, education is terrible.
So imagine a system in which that didn't matter because the cost, like you said, was marginal, right? So every student was the same cost. You know, it didn't matter, right? So it didn't matter. You didn't have to be a rich student because the blockchain, let's say, for example, you could follow a whole student for maybe $200, you know, for his entire lifespan. Right, so then you could track success rates, right? We could find somebody that when they're 30 and say this person was very successful in life, so what led to that, right?
Right.
Then we see everything on the blockchain that happened, you know, and when he was in the third grade, he did this.
Right.
And then you could take that data set and you can apply it to, now apply it to another student. If he has the same result, apply it to another student. Now we understand, we see a pattern.
Right.
So this path is the right path.
Right.
It leads to an outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We don't have anything like that in the school system.
None at
right?
all. I mean, imagine if we could school, access our own records
out.
Like that.
Yeah. They drop you out and let you go.
Yeah.
They don't know. Like, if you ever got a call from your high school?
Oh, shit. I mean, back, I don't even remember back.
They don't even know what you're doing
now. I always try to get to the phone faster so my mom can get that call. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm talking about like right now. Like, you ever get a call from your high school saying, how are you doing in life right now?
No, they don't care.
That's what I'm saying. They should, though, because it's outcome based. Well, you want to see where this dude's at and did what we do matter.
What them 4 years that I went through there had a lot of impact on who I became, you understand me, in life. And they could have had a greater impact as far as, you know, how they helped my trajectory. But at the end of the day, a lot of them them teachers, they just trying to get paid and push as many students through to meet their quota because they underpaid, number one. You understand me? They understaffed. The classroom sizes are too large, so they can't give small classroom focus to student development, right? And in better schools, you're going to have a smaller focus group where you can. All right, I understand that. Like, if we go back before integration, teachers used to visit the homes of students.
Yeah.
Right? They knew their student's name. Yeah. They knew what was going on in their life. They knew all of their grades and all of that by heart. They really knew these students. The teachers don't know these students today.
I've heard this, man. Integration hurt the school system.
Yeah, integration destroyed us.
And neighborhoods, too. So.
We own more before we integrated.
Yeah.
You understand me? Martin Luther King had the wrong dream. I don't know what were you smoking that night before. No disrespect. But I'm just saying, I never agreed with the dream in the first place. You understand me? So I think the issue was is that I got my socks all up. I done got comfortable. I got my pineapple hat, my socks. You know what I'm saying?
They see this is real, man. That's all right.
Excuse me. This fruit good as hell. Shout out to Chef Ma. But the issue was is that after we went through integration, we lost a lot of that independent mindset to do for self, right? And instead, we wanted them to do for us. No, if we want change, we got to vote for it. At first, like, we got to create it. We got to make it. We got to develop it. You understand me? And then it became like, no, now that we've integrated, right, now I need any approval or improvement I want in my life, I need the system to do that for me. And I need to fight the system until they improve this aspect of my life. But when we had this mindset, like, these devils ain't going to never change, then we create our own systems. We got to create our own businesses. We had our own bus lines. We have our own schools, our own curriculums, because we knew we had to do for self. We had to save ourselves. And now you have this new model of educators with that same mindset that want to operate outside the system. And so we're not looking for the system to do for us what we can do for ourselves. So anytime new technology, stocks, crypto, right, whether it's Turo or Airbnb, whatever it is, we say these are the models we going to use to do for ourselves. While everybody else is saying that, no, like, let's work in the system. Let's go get a degree. Let's go get a job. You understand me? Like, why y'all trying to do DeFi? Let's still work with the banks and try to get the best loans and hope that they change these systems.
Get mad over the credit score
system. Yeah. So this generation just happened to be revolutionary and wanted to be disruptive. And this technology provides the right opportunity for us to capitalize on that mindset and execute. It's like, let's talk about the stock market for a second, right? Statistically, Asians have the most investment accounts in America, then whites, right, then blacks, then Hispanics, I believe. I believe Hispanics or blacks, I'm not sure on that one. But, you know, we definitely not at the top. Now, historically, stocks and businesses were the best way to, you know, build wealth in this country. And then, of course, real estate, right? But as far as getting returns, you're going to go businesses and stocks, right? Because those businesses, you go get those profits. Those stocks, you go get that increase in return year to year, dividends, the whole thing. And you can leverage against that. And when we're talking about the stock market, being able to get our people to start investing in it was a dope play. But even the stock market is going to have its time.
Yeah,
you understand me?
Bear market soon.
This was a system that was created in a coffee shop, and it developed into this $1 trillion market. But now it's time for us to even looking at more exits, because diversification is the only strategy against this market bubble of everything that's going on right now.
I agree with you.
If you're not diversified, I don't care how great of a strategist you are in your field.
Don't matter.
Diversification.
There's always risk.
When the stock market down, NFTs the same. Crypto down, NFTs the same. NFTs may go down. Crypto might be up. Yeah. You understand me? Stock market might be down, right? The right now we know that the real estate market can't produce enough houses for the booming market of the next generation, right? So we underdeveloped as a society right now. And we know that healthcare won't be able to take on the stress of this aging population with all of their new concerns and issues and problems. So we know that we gotta, everything we need to start moving has to be outside the system, right?
Yeah.
We gotta move in a naturopathic way. That's why I do my healthcare is vitamins. My healthcare is working out. You understand me? My shot and my booster, you understand me, is mineralizing my body. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm not about to be on my 30-second booster trying to get me access to a hotel. You understand me? When I can still get sick. Just, if I'm going to ask, you know, and we go speak on logic, there is none in that. That's just a ruler thing. You understand me? Like, you have to do this so the pharmaceutical companies can continue to profit and everybody that have investments in there can continue to profit and they can lobby politicians and they can get paid. So if we was to sit here and break down every single segment in society, we're going to see corruption.
Yeah.
You understand me?
It's all over the world, too.
Outside of that, because I see people complain every aspect, whether it's media, black media say, well, white corporations not giving enough ads. They not spreading their ad budget to black media to be able to build out bigger media houses. Then our generation, well, y'all don't even promote us on those media channels anyway, those who are impacting the community and helping us build. Y'all put more of the entertainment on there than you do the education and you do the organizers and leaders of our culture. So we don't care about y'all, but at the end of the day, we could teach y'all how you can create new business models and restructure everything that you're doing over there to grow it if y'all wanted to tap in.
Yeah.
But they want more acceptance from dominant society rather than turning around and, you know, helping building up their own society.
Exactly.
Then we look at the banking structure. We know that the bank's been robbing us for all of this time, right? And so, yeah, we're going to learn credit. We're going to learn the loans. We're going to learn all of that. But at the end of the day, DeFi, decentralized applications and decentralized finance, that's the key right there.
Exactly.
Being able to loan to each other, right?
Use crypto loans. Like I tell people all the time is that I'm going to buy a new car, right, in the next few months.
Uh-huh.
So the car's roughly like the Escalade, new Escalade. Okay. I got one now, but I want to get the new one. So the smart, like I got crypto assets, right? So name crypto, I got crypto, right? So I can leverage that crypto. I can get a loan out against it. They no credit check, no nothing. They don't know, like again, they don't know who you are, anything like that. They give you, you know, you get 50% back, and it's 1% a year. And 1% is an interest-only loan.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that the ask, instead of me paying, that ask maybe like $1,400 a month, I take that, get the loan out against my crypto, 1% interest only, is $80 a month. And the crypto goes into an account, crypto keeps growing.
Right.
So after the 3 years, I got to pay it back. But crypto's way up here by now. I take a little bit out, pay that loan off, and keep the rest. But now I got the crypto and the car. You know?
That's a fact.
But that's what crypto allows people to do.
And
if you went to a bank, even if you had if you had assets to leverage, they're still going to want a credit check. They're still going to want to check you all this stuff. They still want to make sure they can get their money because they're not, the crypto is, you know, is instant, right? They got it. If they don't need to use it, they're going to, you know, they can sell it instantly. Mm-hmm. Real estate is more liquid. So if you use your real estate as leverage, you know, they know that, well, you know, maybe we not be able to sell this house, so we need this credit score. We need this job history. We need some other leverage just in case this don't work out. But crypto is so liquid and so like, you know, the potential is so great. They'll give you loans like that based on the value of your crypto.
Right, because you can instantly cash out.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thinking we have to have, right? Is be able to think past just going into a car lot and paying the 22% interest rate.
Yeah.
Think about other ways to do it like that or another. It's a lot of other ways.
It's infinite wealth strategies.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You got
to
get you.
You got to think, man. And like, you have a goal, right? There's 1,000 ways to get to that goal. You just have to figure out which one is the most optimal. Most people only know one path. I need a car, go to the car lot and pay whatever the man asks. Right? But nah, it's 100 ways. You just got to figure it out, like you said, infinite wealth strategies. Learn from people who know, come up with ideas, 100 ideas, and then pick from those ideas and say, this is the right one for this particular time and this buy and go down that path.
Right.
Right? But that's what people have to think, man.
You just dropped hella keys. I had to let you breathe on that. I had to let you breathe on the track. You understand me? Because I understand that route of borrowing against the assets that you have, right? It's the same model that the bank uses.
Yeah,
you put your money in the bank, they're going to take 90% of your money and go flip it, right? And then while they flipping it, you understand me? They charging you, right, to house your money at the same time. So you put in $100,000 in the bank. They take $90,000 and throw it in the market. they may take a certain percentage and put it into insurance. Insurance will be a tax haven, get them 40% return guaranteed, while they only guaranteeing you 0.6% return. So they automatically making profit off your money once they get in there. You understand me? And right now, you know, with all of this knowledge and all this education on how these systems work, right? Same thing with a musician. A musician, if artist, and we know that we got a lot of artists in our culture. Everybody want to be a rapper. Everybody want to be a singer, whatever it may be. They go to a bank right now, be like, look, man, I'm the next little something, right? I'm going to kill the game. I need $100,000, right, for my marketing. My marketing budget. I need it for my style, my branding. Listen, man, I got to get the best equipment. The bank go, man, stop playing.
They'll laugh at you. They may get mad, call the police.
Bank ain't pushing P. Yeah. You know what I'm about?
They may call the police on you.
But check game, though. Blockchain democratized opportunities because the music label will say, well, if you already got a little influence and suspend, right, you can go over there and leverage that, right? You'll leverage your audience you already have, which means you got to first build up an independent model, and then they see that and whether they want to invest in it. So the bank will give you the loan because the deal is just a loan. Right, nobody used that term in our community, so we never looked at it like that. Oh, I got a deal. Oh, you got a loan. Okay, cool. So these folks over here, they got the capital, they got the liquid, they put up the loan, but then they go charge you for it. You understand me? So look, we'll give you the loan, but you got to pay for everything. But I want to cut from everything that you make. Now imagine if the bank said, "Listen, I'm gonna give you this loan, but for every sale that you make." You understand me? I want 50% of that. You look at the bank, like, man, I'm giving you 50% of my business.
Do it all the time.
But we do that with the record labels. The decentralized model is, it was a rapper, I think his name is Igor. He was out of Chicago. He decided to say that, you know what? I'm going to raise money for my album utilizing cryptocurrency. So he was able to successfully create a campaign like a GoFundMe. He was able to raise 50 ETH, came out to about $92,000 before the album comes out. So now he has his album fully funded before he drops it. So now the people become the record label, right? These are the opportunities that exist. So when we talk about new routes, there's so many strategies that for us to follow any of these old ones just makes us lazy.
Exactly. I still don't understand why rappers still go that route. I have no idea why that's happening.
They take this, it's predatory at the same time. They take advantage of the hood. Look, I mean, you know, you come from the hood, you ain't gotten this kind of, like, we study this. So it's lost on us about how many people don't understand this at all, right?
Yeah.
Like, still adoption is very slow. So people every day are rather spend 9 hours on Netflix rather than actually learn a new industry that allowed them to build $1 million portfolio. Like, that don't interest them.
No, it don't.
You understand me? Some people will rather go to jail rather than goddamn learn.
Yeah.
Literally. That's the fact.
People keep going back to jail. They'll get out and go right back.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing they went through in the first place. The same way. Yeah. Not even changed.
I mean, but that's, we creatures of habit.
I know.
So it's like, we do that with every aspect of our lives. And, and specifically relationships. We go back, instead of learning how to become a new person and develop ourselves and doing that inner shadow work, we keep attracting the same virgins of a different person, you understand me, in a different person, because we too lazy to do the work that will allow us, put us on a different frequency to attract something new.
Yeah.
And that same relationship is a relationship we have with institutions, you understand me, the banking, the education institution, right, the political institution, all of them, it's the same failed trauma-based relationship.
Exactly.
So it's like now, what we talking about are solutions. Cryptocurrency provides solutions where you can take intellectual property and get it funded. You can figure out how to be the most creative you want to be in an NFT project, and you can get it funded.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Exactly. Right, I've done six figures in NFTs. I'm gonna do seven figures this year.
Yeah,
easy. Right, I'm funding a new project with my tech crowns and my wearable crowns and events and courses and education. Why? Because I looked at this technology as an opportunity to create a new business
model. Execute it. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's a new business model is what I want people That's to get it to is. It. Like, and creative business models is the key to this whole thing. It ain't the fact that you don't have a good business. Your business model might not be good.
Exactly.
So it's like...
That's a good point, man. That's a good point.
People buy into my course. Well, they not buying into a course. They buying a membership into my society. In this society, I can decide that every Monday, which I have been doing, every Monday, my father teaches a mindset and manhood development class. Right? So a mother in there might be having trouble with her child. But now every Monday, she paid one-time fee. She got in there. Right, and here's a general that's been teaching and giving the game every single Monday and get that mind right. Then they get access to different courses to where we tell them what projects to buy into. Now they can listen to the things that we tell them and they can go flip that and get money. So it's like somebody sitting up there hating their job, trying to figure out how the hell they go fire their boss.
That's the key, right?
And all of a sudden, man, let me buy a membership in this Crown Society. I get exclusive merchandise. I get to meet people.
How much network. Is it?
I got a course. The course sale for $1,111, right? A person to buy into, because people don't understand NFTs. So I tell them my NFT give them access to my course. But they go buy the course a la carte, right? They go buy the course a la carte instead of buying the NFT to get access to the course.
Yeah.
Because we still operate off old models.
Exactly. That's a good point.
You understand me? So it's like, why would you do that? I buy too many courses because I want to make sure that it has a strategy out there. I ain't got
that. That's what I do. I did that. I still do it too. Is that I buy things right now, like you said, is that if you buy, like, especially with I do this a lot of time with audiobooks. I'll buy an audiobook and I may read only half of it, right? But it's something in that half that was worth the, what, $10 I paid.
Yeah.
You know, so we got to start seeing stuff that, like, the value of things, man, is that. You pay like you said, it's $250?
Yeah, well, that's for one of the crowns currently.
Okay, I get into your society for $250, right? So all I got to do is learn maybe one sentence. That's it, and that could change my life. One sentence, right? And that's it. You know, all the other stuff I can learn, I cannot learn, whatever. I can get in there one day, hear one thing, and that's worth thousands.
And now, right? I'm going to leave off on this point at this point. Price is not value.
No, it's not.
Right? And this is where people get lost in it. Because they look at the price and they equate value. Yeah. That's the consumer mindset.
Exactly.
We never learn how to properly measure the value because we never learn evaluations. So what we can look at something and be like, whoa, now that I understand the value of this is underpriced. You look at the time, how much was spent to make this, expertise, what could I possibly get out of this, all of that. And then you start assessing it like, wait a minute, $250, okay, this part got to be worth at least $100. He had to put this many hours. That got to be worth at least another $1,000. He paid who to come in here? That's another $1,000. That's another $1,000. Next thing you know, you evaluated this thing and be like, oh, that's $25,000 worth that I'm paying for $250. So now when you want to ask yourself, is this a good investment and my money can go far, what better thing you can do with that $250 that you probably traded for, right, 10 hours of your life? You understand me? That like, can help like, increase the rest of your life.
That's like 6 or 7 Uber Eats. Yeah. That's it. You get Uber Eats every day for 1 week, that's $2.50.
So you can go get that Uber Eat, yeah. You understand me? Or we can feed you this knowledge. It's up
exactly.
to you. Make sure you tap in. Peace family, we back. 19 Keys here with the good brother.
Tall Guy Tycoon.
Listen, man, we was talking about something before or after we just went to break, man, and I wanted to get back into that discussion, man. Man, you mentioned the Kanye coin.
Yeah.
So can you give us a little background? So from what I hear, Kanye West had a coin in his name back 2014, early years.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of stories about crypto started, what happened at the beginning all the way up to now. And one of the stories a lot of people don't know about is that I think it was around 2013, 14, maybe even earlier, it was like 5 coins out, right? It was like Bitcoin, Ethereum wasn't even out yet. So Ethereum wasn't even there.
Yeah.
So you had Bitcoin, Litecoin, you had Dogecoin was one of the earliest ones people don't know about. And it was I think it was another coin, I forget which one it was, but they were going to drop a coin called Kanye Coin for, after Kanye West.
Right.
The developers were working on it. They already had everything good. And they were just about to release it and, start selling it to the public and start listening. So it would have been like the 6th coin ever.
Right.
Ever created. So Kanye West got mad, heard about it, got mad, got his lawyers and shut the project down.
Mm.
Now, there's estimates that project would probably be 3 or 4 right now on the list. Mm. Like right behind Ethereum, right, above it. Because it would have had the longevity like Dogecoin. Right. Even though Dogecoin was like, it was kind of like, at first it started as like a joke or whatever, but look mm-hmm. what it turned into now.
Right.
So Kanye West coin had a great potential to end up, equal to where Dogecoin is, even better. So it would have been like 3 or 4 on the list right now. It was a big opportunity, man.
After you told me about it, I looked up it a little bit. So it was like Kanye, right? And that was before Kanye was calling himself Ye.
Yeah.
So they really would have had the brand of where Kanye is now with his Ye branding. Right, and if we look at the top coins right now, of course we know for a fact he would have got some of that market share.
Yeah.
So there was 125,000 coins, right? And at the time, there was I think they found 2 transactions where guys were willing to buy it at that time for like 0.1 or 3 ETH or something, which would have been worth around $83.
Yeah.
And it was doing an estimate inflation model of basically seeing like how much money of that would have been if it would have continued to grow. Right, and we know for a fact it would have been at least a $1 billion project.
Yeah, minimum
$1 billion project. Yeah. And that kind of goes into 100% of what we talked about, these industries, right? We know, Ye knew about crypto 2014.
He knew about that's right? Why
he spoke about it before.
Yeah, he did.
50 spoke about it before because he did some things in crypto where people was able to get free Bitcoin for getting
an album, I remember,
something of that nature. And it's like, not one of these, at the end of the day, you can't be a leader after 10 years later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's like, you ask a question like, why is there no big black coins with their own blockchains like a Polygon? We know that some exist.
Yeah.
Right? But we talking about, number one, funding, of course, is going to be an issue, but also our enthusiasm towards technology, period. Some of these coins started off as protocols to try to solve problems and try to scale this blockchain industry, right? Like Ethereum, right? Wanted to make a better Bitcoin, essentially, right? Dogecoin was a joke, right?
But then it formed into something.
Hey, man, it turned into a $1 billion joke, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, not one time did the culture decide to say, nah, the joke's on us if we don't get in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one time did we say, let's create a coin and then let's all support that. And then if that coin has great utility, value, presence, everybody else surrounding that culture that benefits from it will want to buy into
exactly.
it as well.
So we would have been the first movers, then the value would have went up while we were holding it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You understand me? So we could have had billions of dollars circulating in our own economy, and then that coin could have supplied to funded so many different things, right? Including lobbying when it comes to politics, where we could take, we can decide to take a percentage of that and say that, no, we're going to put it into this campaign to help this person to do this. Right, so it's like cryptocurrency provides models for solutions that we've yet to really tackle and use. Regardless of what the regulation is or will be, if the technology prevails and it still exists, it means that there will always be an opportunity to create our own economy, our own money. In the U.S., it's not illegal to create your own money, right? So that's one of the reasons why, people are able to create cryptos in the U.S., right? Even though the SEC go after people like Ripple, right? They say the one thing, the worst thing that Ripple did was incorporated in the U.S.
Yeah.
That was really the worst thing that they did. But at the end of the day, it's not illegal to create money in the U.S.,
yeah.
right? So it's like we never thought about creating our own money, right? We complained about not having money, but we never thought about going off the system and off the grid. And you would think, specifically, if there was going to be a class or a group of people who are going to decide that we want to be decentralized, we want to be off the grid and out the system, you would think that those so-called stolen Africans in America, right, or some of those Native Americans in America would decide to create their own currency, right, and operate outside the system so they can have their own economic vehicle to liberation. That makes the most sense in the world, right? But we've yet to collectively agree on an agenda that serves our best interest. So our social contract is still with those who don't serve our best interest. So that's what blockchain does for me. That's what it does for all of us. It gives us the opportunity at any moment's notice that we want to unify, we want to have collective economics, we can decide to do it now. Exactly. And this, everybody that watches it, everybody that this streams out to, everybody that listens, regardless of what position, get rid of the emotions and be like, damn, that is right. So what do? We sit down, we have conversations, pull together resources,
like this,
and build. And it's very easy in the sense of from ideation to reality, because we can create systems that is not based on who created the technology. It's just on will the technology execute what we create.
Exactly.
And what we agree upon.
It's not about who, it's about what it does and the power of it.
Smart contracts for the culture is the future.
Exactly. I agree with you on that.
So on the pivot, man, tell me something about, or tell me about your program. I see that you make people money all the time.
Yeah.
They're in the stock market. They're killing the game. You have predicted a few different times on some of these stocks that would do well.
Yeah.
Right? And then I see you posted. You post the gangs. You're like, hey, listen, man.
Yeah, who listen, right?
Who listen? Right? So, yeah, tell me a bit about your stock program and how people can get in.
All right. So, I believe one of the biggest things I believe about, you know, people, especially those, you know, minority communities, people in poverty, is that you got to make them some money first, and then their interest gets peaked and they move on to learn. So that's kind of like the way I approached all this, is like try to find ways to make people money in stocks, crypto, and all these other ways. Then once they get that money, then they come into my program. Now, my program is called CNC, which is the Chestnut Checkers Community.
Okay.
So in that community—
Why Chestnut Checkers?
The reason why is because I grew up playing chess, and chess is a game of strategy, right, where we think 4, 5, 10 moves ahead. So I try to train people in that community to think 10 moves ahead in stocks, in crypto, in real estate, everything, right? Your whole life is almost planned 6 months, 5 years, 10 years ahead. So we're trying to see what's coming around the corner and prepare for it so we can profit from it and we can, you know, protect. Maybe if it's a bad thing, protect against our money against this, what's coming, right? So that community, we give stock picks, day trade picks, we give signals, we give long-term plays. We have a community which is very, very engaged, and we support each other. We grow together. We have a crypto channel. We have classes in there, weekly classes, 2-3 times a week. We have instructors that teach in there. I teach in there once a week. And we have a lot of other things like that. We drop ebooks in there all the time. We drop classes, recorded classes. So any class that I do on Instagram gets dropped in there. So it's a great community. A lot of people have made a lot of money and grown in there over the last 2 years. So it's a great, great way for people to get started.
So when people get inside the community, right, you educate them, but then you also help facilitate the process by sharing your picks?
Yeah, so I share my picks. We got analysts in there to share their picks. Got like an 80-90% rate so far. So we do pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So take me back to when you first started to get into this market, right?
Yeah.
What made you first say, man, let me try my luck in the stock market?
Yeah, that's a crazy story. So I didn't know nothing about stocks when I get out of college. And I get first job, I get a software development job. I get in the cubicle, and I saw this old white dude, like you said, he got the knowledge, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I seen him doing something across the cube. I'm like, what is he doing, man? Yeah. He's like talking about making. I just made $10,000, whatever. He was old. He's about to retire, so he had a bunch more to play with. And I asked him, I was like, what are you doing, man? And he's like, you just showed me. Like over months, man, I go to lunch with him. He just showed me what he was doing.
Mm.
And then after that, man, he retired, and I just went for it on my own and just learned more and more.
That's
reading books, learning or whatever.
So when did you first see a return while getting into it? Because, you know, you learn something
first,
over time.
You lose money at first. That's what I always tell people is that when you first start, you got to expect to lose money. Mm. You probably will, you know. But that's a very, very valuable, like we talk about value over price, that's a valuable lesson. And you learn that lesson, and you can learn that lesson and take it to heart. It's worth more than the money you lost. Mm. And then you grow. Pretty soon you start winning, right? And those wins also give you lessons, and then it reinforces the lessons. And pretty soon you're pretty good. You know, it may take months or years, depending on your learning style and your learning ability, but eventually you will be successful.
What was your best trade in the market?
The best trade I ever did was Peloton. Mm. I made like $180,000
on the upside or downside.
Upside of Peloton, yeah. So upside. At the end of 2021? It's hard for me. The pandemic, I forget the year.
Pandemic 22.
So 22, it wasn't 21. It's the end of 20. The end of 20, December of 20, Peloton went way up, right, all the way up to about December, like I believe 28th. And I went from like, I think I started with like 10 or 20,000, got 180,000 out of that play. Mm. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, it was so much to take advantage of in that market, man. Yeah. And if you was in it and you understood it and you understood where the world was going, you were able to place your bets because you did a call, right?
It was a call, yeah.
Right. And
I was out of the money call. And I think Peloton, Peloton was like 120 at the time. Maybe it was probably, I think it was like 90, right? My call was like for 120, 130. It ended up going to like 160, 170. So I was way into the money. So I got the call very, very cheap because it was so far out of the money. And because I predicted it was going to do well because of Christmas season, right? Mm-hmm. I knew people was going to buy those bikes. I knew the hype was going to be around it. And I knew the stock. I didn't know, but I had a strong, you know, prediction that the stock would go up because of that. So it did, right? So when, you know, my call was at 120, I think the price ended up being like 160, 170 when I sold it.
Mm. So it was so like, for those who don't know, you're talking about trading options in a market, which gives you essentially the option, right, to buy time in the market.
Yeah.
You understand me? Or insurance in the market. You understand me? And I'm not going to go deep into options at this moment because those who follow the channel, those who want to get tapped into that game, join a stock club
like
or join other different things.
Now it'd be like an hour lesson minimum.
So. I want to explain one thing, leave you another piece.
Yeah, this is going to happen.
But essentially, you understand me? It allows you opportunity to leverage stocks that you don't own. You understand me? And to be able to sell contracts of those stocks, right? And that may sound complicated to some people, but it's really simple once you take a hour lesson, 2 hour lesson, and you get the idea that you can make money because the market has all of these different financial instruments that you can utilize, right? So where you can take $500 or $1,000, and the ability of being right can generate infinite returns,
exactly.
Right? And when I say infinite, I'm not being facetious. I'm actually being serious.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the risk, there's always risk involved in this. This is risky, especially if you don't understand what you're doing getting into it. But there's people who live by this and only trade this. There's some stock people who don't trade it at all. They may only swing trade or they may only follow fundamentals or technicals and buy stocks for 10 years out. But at the end of the day, I like options. I like options because it gives us options.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
It's essentially like when the stock market went down, 2008 recession, we didn't know, and it wasn't prevalent in our culture that we can go into the stock market and make money still, right? That if we were to start looking around and got into observation and start looking at all of these markets, okay, well, if we get out the recession, what will go up? And we started buying calls on those things, looking at historical evaluated companies. Man, we could have made deck of millionaires and billionaires in our culture just by a few different calls.
But the thing about it is a time like that's going to come again.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I mean, the market is down right now at the time of this film.
Yeah.
And a call is basically saying that you are betting that the market is going to go up to a certain price. A put is you betting it's going to go down. And if you can accurately predict that and understand how to buy your options at which prices and which is going to, you know, people that want to buy. Anyway, like I said, I don't want to get into the difficulty of it. But what I'm saying is there's a new skill that you can learn. If you know me, I'm going to always teach about all the different aspects, right? I'm not a master at it, but I utilize it, right? I just did a good call. So I'll tell you a strategy I did the other day. I seen Ethereum going down, right? I'm in my trade station, so I got crypto on my trade station, right? So I took some crypto out of that trade station, right? Or I didn't take it out, but I cashed it out to USD.
Yeah.
Then I transferred that over to my options account because they linked together. So took it out of Ethereum, then I put a put on SPY. You understand me? SPY goes down like Frazier. You understand me?
Yeah.
So I made 15,000. Now I take that same money, I go put it back into ETH because now I'm at profit and ETH done went down.
Yeah.
Right? So now I'm remember, I sold the asset at high, right? I go and bet that the market is go down. It goes my way that I think is going to go.
Yeah.
Right? I make that money. I take my profit because you always take profits when you're dealing with options because a lot of people make no profit with options because not people, everybody ain't good.
They be up, but right. They don't take profits.
They don't take profit.
They ain't real until you sell it.
And I promise you, right after I took profit, I went back up. Because I like picking one and just trading on that. You understand me? And I love SPY because there's a strategy of just trading SPY daily. But on this one, it was just understanding the market, understanding how tech was getting beat up, the earnings call, the feds, all of that different thing was creating the perfect storm. And then also understanding that there's always going to be a correction, always going to be a recession. Time in the market beats time in the market, but at the end of the day, there's certain predictive markers, understanding patterns and cycles that where you can see things coming.
Exactly.
Right? So that was an opportunity where I took money out on something that was high, took the profit out, utilized that to place a put, took the profit from that, got back into a position at a lower cost. You understand me? And it's now I get to hold that for a lower investor.
That's going to compound that 15,000, maybe it compound to 200,000 to 300,000. You know,
and that's a new profit for this year. That's my new taxes.
That's
I'm about
what
to
I'm
get
saying.
Taxed on.
Yeah. I mean, over 10 years, they said Ethereum, it could go to like 180.
Right. So, you know, so I'm going to always hold some Ethereum.
That one play could have netted you millions over 10 years.
Yeah. And I mean, because I could take that same thing and I went and bought some new NFTs.
Yeah.
You understand me? And I'm just going to hold them for the most part. I got my set target. So, an NFT strategy is like if you trade NFTs, which I don't suggest the average person do because you got to understand the game if you go trade it, right?
Yeah.
They just came out with the statistic that 88% of the projects on OpenSea either fraudulent or scam copycat projects, right?
Yeah.
And there's always been a predictive model that 90% of these projects will fail. Now, number one reason is going to be something like that. The 88%, they got to fail. You understand me? But if I can understand which products are real, or which projects are real, and I can get in those, I just gotta ask myself, you know, is this gonna be valuable in the future and why? And one thing I teach is how to measure that value, how to actually create an evaluation for these projects so you can decrease risk and increase profit. Not gonna say you're gonna be perfect, you're gonna be 100% right, but risk aversion is key for me. So, you understand me? How do I decrease my risk in this? And at the end of the day, I wanna either put my money in a safe haven where it's going to sit there and it's not going to move, right? Or it's going to go increase. So therefore, it becomes a hedge as a diversifier in my portfolio.
But you had the thing about it, this is the important part about that, you had to have the knowledge when it was about. So when it happened, you could use those tools. That's the thing people need to understand is that sometimes I need tools. I have to learn right now for something that's going to come 6 months from now or come a year from now. Maybe I don't even know when it's coming, but I need to have those tools ready to get it out, right?
Bro, that's the same thing. I mean, even with the options game, I got so much to learn in that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, futures is such a liquid market that we don't be wanting to learn because it takes discipline and the correct mindset to get into. Right? Same thing with the crypto market. There's ways you can get into the crypto market and you can really snipe a lot of profits.
Yeah.
Understanding low caps, right? High caps, which are like low market cap projects that don't have more than like 10 to 20 million, but then you got the high cap projects that's the top 10 of the coin market cap. Learning how to trade those in between, man, it changed the game. You can make that a full time job.
They got exchanges that offer like 125 times leverage.
Yeah.
So people always say,
yielding.
Yeah, they say I don't have enough to pay for one Bitcoin. Well, if you got 125 is like $60. $60 is that? Yeah, I think that's 100 times. $30 would give you access to one Bitcoin, and you trade it like it's all yours. So let's say it doubles, then you get all the profit off of the double, yeah. right? Because it's the same as if you owned it. You had to pay them back the little bit of, you know, they loaned you the Bitcoin, but you got to pay them back. But you get all of that profit, right? So there's a lot of ways like that.
You just recently bought another Bitcoin, right?
Yeah, I just bought another one. I bought it at 41,
uh-huh.
40, but it actually went down. But that a long term would be okay.
No, right? That's why I just wanted you to say it on video, so we're going to play this back in a couple years.
I'll tell you right
years.
Now, I bought it at 41,000. Okay. I saw the drop. I was trying to predict the bottom. It fell a little bit below that, but it's going to come. So you don't, when you're trying to predict the bottom, you got to understand that you're probably not going to predict the absolute bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to get it on the way down. It's probably going to keep going down after you get it.
Right.
And then it's going to come back up over where you bought it and go back up. So right. you're not going to hit, nobody's going to get right. the absolute bottom.
I always say for it, yeah. but if you got, it depends on your money and what your strategy is, right? Like, if you got the money to just be like, all right, I can buy one at this price. If it go down, I'm going to buy another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
If it goes up, I'm going to keep averaging, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and you can set and figure out what is your average price, right? All of that's calculated. Now, if you're somebody that's new getting into the game, I like the four-point strategy, especially in a volatile market. If it's going down, right, write out the four prices that you want to buy into, right? So let's say Ethereum was at 5,000, then it goes down to 4,000. Well, you can say, well, number one, never buy at the all-time high. We all know that. Or if you don't know that, know it now. So let's say, well, damn, if this go to 4,000, I'm buying in, right? And I'm just using these solid numbers as example sake, make it easier. And then it's like, damn, it keeps going down. So you're like, all right, what you're not going to do is take 100% of your budget, because you're going to figure out what is your budget to buy in, right? Whether you're talking about $100 or $100,000, it don't matter. So if your budget to buy in, you understand me, you're going to take whatever that budget is and say that, all right, I'm going to find my points that I'm willing to buy in, because you don't know what the bottom is going to be 100%. Yeah. So if it goes down to 4,000, I'm going to buy in. All right, well, what's my next buy-in point if it keeps going down? Well, I'm going to take that budget that I have and break it up at four levels, 25%, 25%, 25%, 25%. So now I've just bought in at 25% here, right? Then it kept going down, and my next level, I'm buying in, I'm putting another 25% in, right? Damn, it kept going down, right? I'm buying another 25%, right? Now, that's your budget, right? So you only got another 25% to go in. If it continues to go down, then buy in. It may continue to go down more than that, but you at least you just averaged in, right? Or it may go up at some point to where, and if it goes back up, then buy back in at that point. That was another one of your buy markers. You understand me? But what I try to do is give people an easy way to have a strategy. Because one thing that people do is usually have no strategy, right?
Their strategy is emotion-based.
Yeah.
They trade on fear and greed.
Right. And if you don't buy at the all-time high, then you at least you know always getting that asset at a discount, right? Because a lot of times they're over-evaluated and they're oversold, yeah, or overbought, right? When oversold, it's a good thing, yeah. right? So if it's overbought, you're not going to buy all the way at the top, even though that's most people's psychology, because they feel like they're missing out. Like, oh, it might go to the moon, right? It may go to the moon, but it might not be the launching date. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And most people miss the launching date because they never study the project, right? I mean, there's so many different ways that you can go about this, but it's the same thing when it comes to taking profit. Always have a model in which you go take profit. The HODLer thing came from literally a meme. A meme is not a strategy. Right?
Yeah.
So holding on to dear life is not a strategy. Because at some point in time, you actually want to have a strategy on, do you want to liquidate it? Do you want to utilize it? You understand me? To borrow against, right? What do you actually want to do with the asset that you're getting into? So having a strategy is a strategy. And holding is not a strategy unless, right, you literally saying, well, I'm going to hold this forever and only... only thing I'm ever going to do is borrow against this asset. I'm gonna leverage it, right? That's different. But most people don't even think that far. They just say, well, they said HODL in this thing. That's what I'm going to do because I don't feel like thinking for myself. So for me, when you talk about chestnut checkers, I love that because at the end of the day, you have to think moves ahead.
Yeah.
Are you keeping this to where you say, listen, there's only going to be 21 million Bitcoin. A lot of those have been lost due to error, due to lost wallets. Right, so many different things. The miners are getting a percentage of it. It's not even going to be enough for every millionaire in America, right? So at the end of the day, everybody won't be able to have one.
No.
But being able to have a certain percentage of it guarantees you a certain level of wealth when it comes to assets.
If it goes to where it's supposed to be going, they said 0.01 Bitcoin
will guarantee you wealth for the rest of your life if it goes to where it's supposed to be going, right? Which is over $1 million.
Right. So it's like, hell yeah, if you could buy gold in 1920, right, it would have been a great, great investment.
Yeah.
Because look what gold did, right? You say you're buying it at $20 and now it's at $2,000.
Yeah.
You understand me? That's a good investment. And during those times, you know, even up to the 60s and 50s and 80s, gold was cheap as hell.
Yeah, $35 an ounce in the 50s.
So imagine that. Like, we was buying so many different things that had no value. We weren't thinking about asset classes. We weren't buying into none of those things. But we literally could have just held on to gold.
That's it.
Right? And been successful. So that whole model of holding on to an asset is a key. Right? But if we look at what our what's inside our trust, which we don't usually have, but we need to have a trust. And we look at what the family estate owns. If there are no asset classes that you're holding on to, you have no leverage in the future. Mm-hmm. There's no growth guarantee. There's no wealth guarantee. There's nothing to pass down. Them little trinkets you pass down in the family don't mean nothing unless they have real value. Exactly. Intrinsic value.
This is the foundation to understand your journey into cryptocurrency. You want to be prepared for the future. And although you can make a lot of money in crypto, you can actually lose a lot as well. If you're getting in just for FOMO, you don't have a strategy, you're just gambling. This is one of my favorite strategies. But we're in that time where anybody can create their own money and their own economy. That means the corporations and even the banks and the governments themselves are actually jumping into it. This is that time now where you get prepared. You will have the tools to be able to go do this research on your own, find coins on your own, and understand crypto in a way that the big boys do right now. The game is here. And it's real. And if you don't play in it, then you're going to be on the sidelines watching everybody else score. And I believe that this is why it's one of the most exciting times in history. If you're smart, you play in the game.
Unlock infinite growth strategies at highlevel.19keys.com/IWS.
So understanding financial literacy brought us to the point where, well, gold has intrinsic value. Let me buy this because it's always going to have some value. So at least I know now this family name has assets connected to it. This study of wealth model that they put in out by 2053 saying black people have 0% assets in America and said that we will have 0% wealth in America. Well, if it's based on assets, let me just buy some assets. If I can get all, if I can go get me all of the families to own some Bitcoin, own some gold, right, own some land, whether it's a parcel, whether it's a kilo of gold or an ounce of gold or grams of gold that you allocate in a percentage of your paycheck and your earnings to, whether it's an NFT digital project, whether you're getting fractional ownership of a blue chip NFT project, look what that means, right? Go to fractional.art and you can buy fractions of an NFT if you can't buy the whole thing, where you can still get exposure to it. So you have ownership of that asset without having to buy the whole thing. And you can do fractional ownership in stocks, NFTs, right? I don't think you, in crypto, right?
Yeah, crypto.
Because you can buy Satoshis of a Bitcoin rather than buying the whole thing. So that whole I can't afford it, it is a mindset. So when you start thinking of wealth and percentages, you just start allocating a percentage, right, of your earnings towards your wealth portfolio. And eventually you can end up owning a whole thing, right, if you can't own it now. And so learning the skill set allows you also to take advantages of the gaps in the market as it's going up and down, giving you more leverage to be able to gain profit, right, and double your ownership of the asset. So the game is to be played, not to just be watched on the sideline, waiting to get in.
A lot of people do that, man. They watch people like me and you, for example. Mm-hmm. They'll watch for sometimes years.
Yeah.
Never do nothing.
Yeah.
And I met a woman was in New York, and she was like, and she knew me from my voice. I was just walking, talking to somebody, and she knew me from my voice. Came up to me and said, "Are you talking about Tycoon?" Took a picture of me. I asked her, I said, "What stocks you trade?"
Yeah.
She said, "I've never traded a stock." I said, "Crypto you trade?" "I never did." I said, "You've been following me for a year and you never did?" She knew me by my voice, so she had to hear me a lot.
No, you know, I but find it's that because a big issue.
Yeah, it's like a lot of people do that. They'll watch and they'll hope and dream, but they never will actually take the step.
Well, cuz people treat education like entertainment.
Now, yeah.
You understand me? It's for their escapism, right? Not for their improvement. So it's like they know it's good. So this is the excuse people make. Right. Well, I'm watching Keith. I know he's dropping knowledge. So at least it's better than me watching Netflix.
Exactly.
Right. But then they don't have the mindset to execute on the information because that requires real discipline. That requires focus. Yeah. That requires learning. Right. And a lot of times a person don't have belief in self that they even have the confidence that they can do this thing. Right. Self-love is a key here, right? A person don't even love themselves enough to believe in themselves enough to think that they can grow outside their circumstances. People question themselves, who am I, right, to learn something new and put myself in a better position? When my mama did, my dad did, my auntie, my cousin, my partner, none of these people that I'm connected to did it. I don't think I'm better than them, right? You don't think you better than your circumstances.
I put up a quote about that. My mom was actually talking to me the other day, and she was just talking about how people change and how people need to change. And she was like, see, people change when they look in the mirror, they look at themselves and realize, I'm too good to be living like this. Mm-hmm. I'm too good to not have this knowledge. I'm too good to be out of shape. I'm too good.
Absolutely.
I'm as a person, I'm too good for this.
God gave me way too many talents, skills, and exactly. gifts for me to not utilize them.
Exactly. And when you look at yourself in the mirror and you realize that, that's when real change happens.
I was having this conversation earlier. I once worked for somebody, you understand me, and I had this realization. So I fired my job one time where I was working security, and they came and they was paying me like $10 an hour or something like that, right? Some crazy crap, right? But I was down bad. You feel me? I had to get a job. I had to hustle. I've always been a worker. I'm going to get it. You understand me? I'm a worker. I'm an earner. That's my personality. You understand me? I'm going to get it regardless. But anyway, the boss walks in. Smooth, you understand me? Black dude taking his job extra super serious, you understand me? He walk in like he goddamn Steven Seagal in one of the movies, dressed in all black, you feel me? Walking in slow motion. He could tell I had the face of dissatisfaction. He must have just knew that that day it was at the highest heights. So he walked up to me, say, look, man, he's gotta be all extra cool, boss like. I'm going to give you a raise. I'm going to give you $1.10. I'm putting that in now. You understand me? I appreciate you. I love what you're doing here. And then he walked off. You understand me? Like, he was shaft. He thought he didn't goddamn just did something. He thought he didn't want. Man, so anyway, I sat there at that door and I thought about it. I said, did this nigga just offer me $1? I thought about that seriously. I said, did he just offer me $1 for my time? Like, it puts so much context to it when he offered me that dollar that I'm like, he just offered me $1 for my time. Like, I'm me. Like, who the hell he think he is, right? So he downstairs, right? So I send him a text. I say, listen, you need to have somebody fill in for my rest of my shift, right? Because I quit, basically.
Yeah.
You understand me? And I walked off after. I went and grabbed my stuff from downstairs. I walked off. I swear to God, I never came back to that job. You understand me?
Yeah.
And I remember seeing him years later in Atlanta. You understand me? I got my kilo on. I got my gold. You understand me? He already done caught the vibrations on my platform through the ethers of my education that I'm giving out to the people. And he knew that I made the best decision, but he's still working at the same job. You understand me? Got a little bit more of a raise, still bragging about how he in that corporate atmosphere.
Yeah.
And not everybody has that moment where they realize that the people that's paying them can never afford them.
Yeah.
You understand me? Because of how valuable they are. Right? But if I didn't, and I fired that job, that wasn't the last job I worked at. The next job I worked at was the last one. But I took what was getting paid from $10 to start getting paid six figures at my next job.
Yeah.
Because I maneuvered and strategized my way through there. And then I got to a point where they couldn't afford me. Because I was making them millions of dollars, but I knew I could be doing that for myself. And so each and every person has to decide for themselves what their true worth is.
Yeah.
Right? What's the worth of your time? What's the value you can produce from your own mind if you controlled your own time? And then you will value knowledge and education. Because that same money you will pay for some shoes, a purse, sex, car, right, and other entertainment, you could have sat down, disciplined yourself, got education that would have paid you for the rest of your life.
The thing about it is that, like you said, those shoes, the cars, so I got, you're still going to get them.
Yeah.
You're just delaying.
On the back end, sacrifice. You don't, we celebrate more than any other culture. You'll never see losers celebrate more in any other culture than ours. The losers in our culture celebrate more than the winners. They be at the club every goddamn night celebrating their losses, trying to escape reality. Right? That's the harsh thing. Spending an average amount of money, whether it's $86 to like $125 a night. You understand me? Going to the club, trying to impress other people that's trying to escape their life. Yeah. Right? And then they be coming together, trauma bonding, became creating poverty line babies.
I seen a dude one time, this dude I played basketball with. Now, I picked him up. He worked at Foot Locker. He was the mm-hmm. manager. So he made about, I think he told me like $35,000, but yeah. It was like 15 years ago. And he got paid. He cashed his check. He went from Foot Locker to Louis Vuitton and bought some almost the same price as his paycheck. Bought it all, spent it all on Louis Vuitton shoes for the club that night. And I saw that and I was shocked. I was like, man, he cashed his check literally, took the money, walked across the mall, and spent it all in Louis Vuitton. And he said he's gonna wear them in the club that night.
LVMH, man, that man is rich. That man literally. That group, I think he surpassed and became the richest man mm-hmm. in the world at one point or currently. But it's like, that goes back to the conversation I had about Bored Apes. Every time, the same thing happens. We can't wait to make the other side rich.
Yeah.
And we can't wait to show off how much we've made them rich, how much we've paid to make them rich. We try to say, oh, nah, I'm investing, or I'm getting into this. Nah. You are being played.
You played yourself.
You ain't got the game. You like Kanye, he ain't got the answers.
Yeah, you ain't got the answers, Sway.
Sway didn't, and shout out to Sway, Oakland, real OG. Sway didn't have the answers at that time for Kanye. Because Kanye was trying to play a game from a different vantage point. You understand me? To become a billionaire, one of the richest men in American history. Whether I agree with, he got bad women choices, right? Especially this new chick. He lied in that new verse in My New Bag. That was the only word he was capping, because she not bad, first of all. And in the court, you don't never like checking nobody. Like, Kanye, what is you doing, B? You got all these billions, and that's who you chilling with? So anyway, man, he picking these second-rate women. You understand me, playing with his legacy. But that's on him. I ain't got nothing to do with that. That was just a sidebar, right? But at the end of the day, we got to stop being consumers, right? And we got to start becoming rulers. And the only way we can do that is if we have control. That's it. I don't care how much money a single person makes in any industry at all. If the collective is not benefiting from it and it's pushing generations forward, that's it for me. Like, you can make $1 billion today and the whole culture will be like, man, bro, raw. I love what he did, this, that, and the third. Because at the end of the day, our culture is like this. They may hate your process, but they'll love your results. No matter how you went and got it, Kanye wore the red hat, he talked this stuff, he done went flip Kardashian, this, that, and the third, he become a billionaire. He got that report that he was the richest man in American history, black man. Culture loved you. You're the new aspiration. Kanye's the new white man for the culture. Not saying that Kanye is a white man, but as far as the way we was looking at white men with all that kind of money and aspiration. So we know the fact that the culture has a short-term memory when it comes to their moral position against things. So we go for the long-term sets because we understand that the assessment that y'all having don't matter right now. Once y'all see the success, y'all be on the bandwagon, right? So when it comes to control and when it comes to power, we have to do everything for the long term. We ain't trying to satisfy short-term emotions. I don't care about your money. I want to see your impact, right? We have issue with family dynamics. We have issue with economic dynamics. We have issue with being free and having justice and having equity and equality all over. We can't even goddamn speak to all our women as bosses in this world because we ain't the boss of this world. So how the hell we as men, melanated men, right, that those don't consider to be in that elitist family, which is that white supremacy bloodline, ain't no way we could be satisfied with this world, content with this world, comfortable the way things going on, and we just happy because we got a position in this world. Being you, I'm sure, live very comfortably. You understand me? Private chef coming in, cooking, podcast, blah, blah, blah. We living good. We can do whatever we want to. Me, I got a passion to my people where your net worth, see, this is, I'm going to leave it with this last gem. If you want to measure a person's net worth, you're going to look at their debt, they earn income and they assets, right? You go minus the debt, minus the assets and the earned income. But in Black America, it's not the same. because you also have the minus family as a liability, because you got to pay for all the people that can't pay for themselves, right? So your net worth
is worth invariably less than you
think it is.
Exactly.
Right? Until everybody else around you is eating.
Yeah.
Right? But we don't even calculate that in, because everybody around us is poor, don't have it. So we can't count the fact that we wealthy or rich until everybody got it. You understand me?
Yeah.
That's the model, feeding everybody, where we operating for the collective, not ourselves. Our net worth is based on the network of our family. Everybody got to eat, B. And that's the model that I think about, because the numbers do lie when you got the mathematics wrong. You got the formula wrong.
Yeah.
You understand me? And so Black Americans think we more successful than we are. And that's just not the truth. You can't be successful in a world you don't own. You can have success, but true success is linked to your people and your culture and your DNA and your heritage. You can try to run away from that as far as possible, but it always catches up. You know what I'm talking about? So we have to get back to this dynamic of populating the world with educated Black men, women who know and understand these principles and these values. And for everybody else that watches this, whether you're my brown brother, my yellow, red, whatever color or frequency you tap in, as long as you're righteous, I rock with you. If you're a good person, I rock with you. There's one rule in all religion. Treat people how you want to be treated, the golden rule. Exactly. You understand me? And if you follow that golden rule, and truth is the connection that we can have, and liberation and justice and all of those different values, we locked in. You know what I'm talking about? But I'm going to always speak truth to power and create solutions to problems. And that's what's going to always make me dangerous. Right? And I'm never going to stop doing this. So a person got an issue with it, you know, take it up with your boss. You understand me? Don't complain to me, because I work for myself.
That's it, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, man.
Man, tell them how they can get into the CNC. We're going to put a link down there and everything.
I'm going to put a link down in the video, but also you can follow me on Instagram, Tall Guy Tycoon. Same on YouTube, Tall Guy Tycoon, and on TikTok. All the same thing. That's TallGuyTycoon.
As you can see, we just went to war with ignorance. We went to war with the culture. Went to war with blockchain technology. We went to war with the metaverse, you understand me? And a host of other different things that our culture needs to continue to have an uphill battle against and about. Make sure we continue to stay vigilant. Make sure we continue to take orders from those who are qualified as generals. Make sure we learn to master ourselves so we don't become slaves of our bad behavior. I'm 19 Keys. Peace, family. This is the foundation to understand your journey into cryptocurrency. You want to be prepared for the future. And although you can make a lot of money in crypto, you can actually lose a lot as well. If you're getting in just for FOMO, you don't have a strategy. You're just gambling. This is one of my favorite strategies. But we're in that time where anybody can create their own money and their own economy. That means the corporations and even the banks and the governments themselves are actually jumping into it. This is that time now where you get prepared. You will have the tools to be able to go do this research on your own, find coins on your own, and understand crypto in a way that the big boys do right now. The game is here and it's real. And if you don't play in it, then you're going to be on the sidelines watching everybody else score. And I believe that this is why it's one of the most exciting times in history. If you're smart, you're playing the game.
I'm Rock Infinite Wealth Strategies at highlevel.19keys.com/IWS.
Peace, family, it's 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the High Level Audio Experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links. Enjoy this clip and check out the full episode. Peace.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
This just in, Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime.
Deal extended till January 17th.
See Home Club for details.